Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have our friend Dan Patrick on the show. Great conversation with DP. He is now at the Cock, the Peacock streaming service.
Peacocking.
We talk everything, sports, hot takes, gambling. We're going to go up to Connecticut and play the Danettes 3-on-3. Billy, you are in that game.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So, which kind of our ace in the hole, considering the fact that we're all kind of old now.
And have you ever, do you play basketball?
Yeah, I play basketball.
Okay. Yeah, like a football player. That's what we said. Yeah.
No, I can shoot from the outside.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nice bonus.
Yeah, better than Playoff P. We'll get to it in a
second.
Playoff B. Yeah, we got Hot Seat Cool Throne. We have Guys on Chicks. Great Wednesday show for you. It's all brought to you by our friends.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's go. Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, September 16th. Hank has just made a mess of his desk.
The board is completely ruined.
Well, I tried to give Billy headphones so he could hear himself so he could maybe talk into the microphone.
Oh, no, no.
In the process of taking the headphones, he knocked over a Red Bull.
No, you knocked it over before you gave me that.
There's so many electronics where you knocked over the Red Bull. It's insane.
Was it sugar-free at least?
Yep.
There we go.
Well, then it doesn't even get it. All right.
It's basically the index.
All right. It's Wednesday. The Los Angeles Clippers are dead, defunct. A clown show. Playoff PP is the worst ever. What are you spraying?
Jake is spraying the Red Bull before he...
Lysol.
Jake is the perfect person to have around for these type of things. He went into action. He got the stuff to clean up.
He's trying to get back on Hank's good side, though, because of the result of Celtics night. So Hank has been lashing out at Jake. And fortunately for Jake, Billy just fucked up. So now Jake is thinking to himself, like, I got this made.
I didn't
Hank
fuck
and
up.
People forget that we have a Heat fan in this room. Jake Cake is a huge Heat fan. I don't think there's another podcast in the world that has a diehard Heat fan on it. So it's great that you're here.
PFT's team, too.
Yep, PFT. I'm a Jimmy Butler guy.
Me, too. Top eight player now in the NBA. Yeah. I've leveled him up. He's solidly in the top 10. But, yeah,
I'm just rooting for Jimmy.
We respect J-Butt on this podcast, and Jake was very happy with the result. We need to make a mayor's bet on Pardon My Take between Jake and Hank, the Celtics and the Heat.
It's a good one.
I think it should be a cake-related bet. I think that the loser should have to bake a cake of the winner's choosing. For the winner. And then they have to document the process, have to actually try, bring it into the office. That way we all, it's really just so that we can eat cake.
Yeah, I was thinking like a live stream, someone has to eat the cake, like a full cake.
I think you should bake a cake.
Oh, like you baking a cake and then you have to pass a test until you make a good cake.
No.
Yeah.
I think you have to try.
Subjective.
You have to follow the recipe.
We'll get
so you can't fuck up the cake on purpose.
We'll get a real chef. Donnie.
We'll tweet it at Gordon Ramsay and have him rate it.
Yeah.
Is it the season?
It's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Speaking of cake.
Oh. What?
Ass-eating season.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks for all right. And now to end that segment. You're right. Clippers are frauds.
The Clippers are the biggest frauds of all time.
He stinks. The fourth quarter, I don't think I've ever seen somebody be as bad at their job as the entire Clippers offense was.
Wait, okay, all right. So I don't want to do what we usually do because obviously the story is The big story is the fraudulent Clippers, because all we heard about was how great they were. I bought into it. I was like, well, how could you beat Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Patrick Beverley? Like, this is going to be insane. Kawhi sucked, too. Kawhi was very bad, 6 for 22. Paul George is 4 for 16. But let's at least give some credit to our Nuggets. We're a Nuggets podcast. They were incredible.
Yeah.
They were awesome. They essentially forced the Clippers to just quit. And that fourth quarter, like, there's losing, and then there's the way the Clippers lost, which was pathetic, disgusting, abhorrent. Like, fraud. I don't even know if we have...
The F word is appropriate in this
frauds.
Case. They
yes.
are frauds.
Yes, they quit. They look terrible. They should feel terrible.
They insulted my intelligence as a sports fan believing in them.
They made me sick to my stomach. I have diarrhea now, mm-hmm. all because...
Playoff poo.
Of you. Yeah, playoff poo-poo.
playoff L.
It's
layoff P.
It's crazy. I don't know... This is going to be a hot take. Oh, my computer's making noise. But I'm going to say it anyway.
Wait. Ask me for permission to go there.
Can I go there? Can I have permission to go there?
Granted.
I actually don't know how you bring playoff P back next year.
I like that take.
Like, I don't know how you have what we just watched and be like, let's bring back the same core and hope that... It's kind of the James Harden thing, where it's like, how many times you guys see in the playoffs before you're like, all right, this guy just... he's, you know what I'm doing? Playoff P, you're not a second banana, dude. You're a third piece. You're a third piece at best.
I think that in this case it was a little bit different because Jokic is like such a big physical dude that he was just bodying him. That's just demoralized. And anytime somebody can just back you down and you can't do shit about it, because I think he outweighs him by, what, 30, 40 pounds?
Yeah.
I don't know what Jokic is. His weight fluctuates like yours. He can be like 260 on any given
easily.
Day it's, or 220
yeah,
on
one. Yeah, basically how much but sodium did you have past midnight?
Just doing the eyeball test on him, who, by the way, he does look like the Serbian Bosa brother. I can't get that out of my head.
Yes, he does.
He was just backing him down, and eyeball test, I think he outweighs him by like 35 pounds, so it's tough. And when you
rebounds.
Keep getting back down like that and just dominate on the glass, then that affects you at the other end where you're like, shit, I'm not very athletic, am I?
He had 16, 22, and 13, and the 13 is what I noticed. Like, he's always making a great pass because they're running pick and roll up top, and then he just makes a great pass for one of his, you know, teammates to get a wide open shot. I'm not gonna sit here and say that they're gonna be a pushover.
Oh, I will. I'll say it right now. Laker Dan's not gonna say it. Come on, Laker Dan.
I think the Nugs, I mean, I became a Nugs guy.
Davis.
You disrespected them.
It's going to be a sweep.
It's a gentleman sweep. I'm calling it
a sweep.
4-1. They're going to gentleman sweep their way, I think, probably through the entire playoffs.
Don't get me wrong. I think the Lakers, like, I think they're going to win the series. I'm not going to say it's going to be a sweep or 5 games.
Anthony Davis.
There might be a moment.
Shuts him down.
Dude, how did. I mean,
not shuts him down, but
Nuggets
I think.
The Clippers were up 3-1 in this series.
I think Davis might outweigh Jokic, or at least they're close.
No.
So I think that Davis can D him up.
No, I mean, of course he can. Anthony Davis is a great defender, but this is not. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be. I think it's going to be a more fun. Everyone's just writing him off, but the Clips suck. The Clippers suck. Fuck the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Everyone hates the Clippers.
I'm with you. We're all out on the Clippers.
Are there even Clippers fans? I want to hear
Frankie
from
Muñez. Malcolm in the Middle. The kid from... Yeah, he's like the guy that...
Billy
has
Crystal.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal and Frankie
and
Muñez.
Penny Marshall. R.I.P.
That tells you everything that
She's
you need
dead.
To know. But Jokic...
She's
I do,
not alive.
I do like watching him play.
She's
except,
rolling in her grave.
Except for the fact that I think he leads the league in leaving his jersey untucked.
That's fine.
Clean that up.
I like it.
Jokic, 284 pounds.
Going in
pounds,
for his first job interview.
Yeah. AD, 253.
Ooh, major weight advantage.
Okay, but Jokic lost all that weight.
We're talking about him like they're boxers. Ooh, what about reach?
I need to know how to accurately mispronounce his name. It's Jokic.
Yeah.
So it's I'm calling
Jokic,
him Jokic.
The Joker.
Yes.
Nikola Jokic.
There you go.
That was good.
Jokic. All right, other game. Hank, bam. You got bammed. You got bam.
You got Emeril Lagasse, bro.
That was an incredible, incredible block. I feel like because we went right to Game 7, there wasn't enough credit to that block.
I feel like a Game 7,
games,
though, like something that happened
no,
in
a
Game 7, like Game 1.
Well,
you
we
know,
led with it.
What
we
even
led
happened?
With Game
yeah.
7.
Game 1, Game Schmon.
The Heat and the Celtics are going to, every single game is going to be like this, I think. These two teams are so evenly matched, but that
They're
block
like,
was incredible. You have to admit that block was incredible.
It was absolutely crazy. I mean, it's like the Mitch Trubisky screenshots where it's like there's so many screenshots that
Why did you deflection, Hank? That was a master.
No, I'm using it as an example. Like there's screenshots of Jason Tatum. It looks like there's no way that he doesn't dunk
the ball. It was his left hand too.
Yeah, there's
It wasn't even his dominant hand that blocked it. Now what we have to do with a moment like that is figure out if it was the best block of all time in NBA history.
Definitely better than the chase downs by LeBron. Those are just LeBron being lazy and like waiting for his moment. This is actually an impressive block. It's more the Celtics were up 14 in the fourth quarter and they just had like some of the worst possessions. They had three possessions with a minute left in regulation where they just had like isolation step back threes.
It's James Harden possessions. And then
it was bad.
They
should have won that game easily. It shouldn't have been in overtime.
I love the Heat culture. Jay Crowder, I mean, what a role player that guy is. How would you ever let that guy go from your team? That's a guy that you want on your side.
I can't speak because everyone just tweeted me, like, why did the Bulls trade Jimmy Butler? I don't know. God damn it. This is great basketball. Great basketball.
I'm actually more excited for this Eastern Conference Finals than I think I am for the entire NBA Finals. If it's Lakers-Celtics, I think the Lakers win 4-1. If it's Lakers-Heat, I think they win 4-2. This series is my personal finals because
that's your personal finals
because it's going to be fun to watch. Like you said, they're very, very even.
Yes,
and neither team ever has like any second where they look like they're taking a moment off.
Yes, yes. By the way, so Hank, how are you feeling overall? You're like, oh, we're good?
No, I mean, I feel like we should have won that game easily. We got to fight back and win like three out of the next four.
Yeah, that's
for me to feel good. I don't feel good.
Then you would still not have won the series.
But I'd feel good.
If you won three in a row.
But you'd feel better.
I would feel good.
Okay.
I will not feel good until that's the case.
I got a question. What's up with Kemba Walker's shot? It ain't good.
No, I mean he was good in the crunch. Like he was kinda stepped up when he needed to step up.
And Jason Tatum's a stud, but like what's up with Kemba Walker's? Oh, I loved also who was announcing the game today, Jake? Calling Marcus Smart three smart
Mark
bombs.
Jones and Doris Burke.
Smart bombs?
Yes, he called it a smart bomb.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a good description for like, a deep three.
How many children did that kill with that smart bomb?
Jesus. That landed on a Yemeni wedding.
Smart bombs. All right, that's basketball. We had Monday Night Football. Big Ben is officially back.
Yeah.
He looks good.
And not only is he back in terms of like finding his rhythm as a passer, but he's back. I think he designed that sleeve that he wore. The like custom made one. I feel like Big Ben has an entire line of pharmaceutical devices that he just like invents in his garage in his spare time. I've never seen anything like that. But he looked like Big Ben of old, milking a couple times. He got knocked down.
He probably sits in his doctor's office and takes the meetings when like the pretty little blonde comes in and shows like all the new pharmaceutical things.
That's
like,
what
hey,
do.
Doc, can I sit in your chair for the afternoon?
Well, every athlete retires and they become pharmaceutical device salesmen. Big Ben is going to become a purchaser. He's going to like work for giant hospitals.
Just has an entire. We need Marie Kondo to go over to his garage. She opens up the door and it's just full of like walking boots and different sleeves.
What brings you joy, Ben? All of it. All of it does. I can't get rid of a single one of it.
Everything. But yeah, he was. It was a masterclass in Ben. He was limping like two plays in. He had some great drives. He looked good. He even had a moment where his offensive lineman got hurt, which I think he's out for the year. And we were giggling about the clip. We didn't want to retweet it because the offensive lineman actually did get hurt. But Ben went down and fell and basically acted like he was more hurt than the offensive lineman who had just torn his ACL.
Yeah, well, he saw the other guy was hurt. And Big Ben has sympathy pains for anyone who's ever had an injury.
Islanders, okay.
It continues. What is it, 3-2 now?
Team of Destiny, yep.
Barry Trotz.
Yep, that was a huge one for the Islanders.
And then the late game, Vic Fangio is a turkey.
Yes.
He is a straight-up turkey. That's the only word I can use to describe him because the clock management at the end was almost as big a story as future Hall of Famer Gostkowski missing those, four kicks? But the clock management was just – his philosophy was, I think he's going to miss another kick, and so I don't need any time on the clock for when he does that.
Yes.
Which still makes no sense because if he had missed that kick, even if there was like 55 seconds, a minute left, it doesn't matter. It literally makes no difference. You can still run the clock out if you get it.
It was. I think this happens every year though with the second Monday night game. It just devolves into absolute crap.
Yeah.
Like it was. There was a moment at 1 a.m. where I was after Gostkowski missed his third kick. I'm like, what am I watching right now? Like Jerry Jeudy's dropping balls. Gostkowski's missing kicks. Melvin Gordon actually looked good, but like, I just said to myself, why am I still up?
Because
why
it's football.
Yeah, because it's football, obviously.
You know why we were all up watching it? Is because we just went through like 6 months where we would have killed a drifter to be able to watch a meaningless Monday Night Football game.
But you know, you have those moments of clarity where you like almost have a 360 view of your life. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I had that moment. I was like, this kicks ass. Football's on TV.
So that game was, it was something.
Credit to him for bringing Gostkowski out there for the last kick. It reminded me of, you know, the ending of Tin Cup. I know that the young guys haven't seen Tin Cup yet. Yep. You haven't seen Tin Cup?
No, they haven't.
They definitely haven't.
I'm agreeing with you.
But when Kevin Costner kept hitting his three wood into the water over and over and over until he got it right, that's what Vrabel was doing with his kickers. He's like, we're going to keep going out there. We're going to keep trying to kick. I don't care how many you miss. I'm going to keep kicking. He would have kept Gostkowski on the field until like 6 o'clock in the morning. Just after the game was over until he hit one.
Yes, it's true. It's true. It was thrilling. It was thrilling to watch him get out there and try to make it. All right, so what else do we have? Anything else? Any other cleanup?
Well, I put this on Twitter because a lot of people were asking me about it last night, but I am still opting out of the NFL season.
So stop asking.
But if Taylor and if Mike hit me up, if Vrabes hit me up.
They didn't already?
I talked to Vrabes a little bit, but if Will Compton hit me up, there are colleagues, right?
Shout out to Will Compton, by the way.
Huge tackle.
Yes. He's actually the one that was the reason Gostkowski hit it.
And he also
gave him a hug.
He also had to play basically the whole game after Evans threw a punch in the first quarter.
Yeah. It's a big low up for Will Compton. But if our colleagues need my help, I'm not going to leave my colleagues behind.
Yeah. By the way, one last thing about Monday Night Football. How shitty was it of ESPN to put an unbelievable booth with Herbie and Fowler in game one and then be like, here's our new booth in game two. Hope you stay up for it.
Yeah, Herbie and Fowler.
I mean, that's Sergio Dipp.
The second game is usually the weird booth. The second game is usually like
COVID
Mike and Mike do it.
Limited travel. Maria Taylor was already in New York for
still
NBA
fucked
and Fowler was
still
doing US
fucked
Open.
Him. Do you not agree, though, that it fucked him? They basically gave an incredible booth that everyone loves, universally loved. Herbie and Fowler are consummate pros, great chemistry. And then not even saying that Greasy, Riddick, and Levy did a bad job, but to go to them, it's a tough act to follow.
Yeah. Herbie and Fowler, the big knock was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to transition to the NFL. Newsflash, like they know every single player on the field already because they called them when they were in college. And also, the chemistry is the most important part.
Right.
Like, they could narrate Hank taking a shit, and I would watch it on TV.
I know this is crazy, but like, why can't they do both? Is that too crazy?
Remotely?
No. They do the Saturday night game. They have
the best
private plane ever. That basically,
the Dilfer plane.
They should have a crew literally carry their bodies so they can, you know, they hop on the plane.
Like in Spider-Man, carefully, he's a hero.
Yeah, they give him NyQuil. Uh-huh. Then they land in the Monday Night Football city. They carry their bodies, lay them into bed, and then they wake up in that city, and then they have all Sunday to recover, and then they do
Just
Monday
keep
Night
them
Football.
Keep them in like a freeze chamber during the week?
Why not?
Football prep is by far the hardest.
Jake, you already brought up tennis.
Flag on the play.
Yeah. Too much inside. Too much inside. But
don't
you're right.
Don't poo-poo this.
I like how our brains automatically go back to like the Mike and Mike game, which I think was 16 years ago, but it was so great because it was Mike and Mike and then another Mike.
Yeah,
they added Mike Ditka into the booth. It was three Mikes. That was incredible. It's also the Sergio Dipp game.
Yep.
Never forget. September 11th, 2017.
The punt is blocked.
Yes, it's the punt. The Berman block game. It's always a little
Rex
bit weird.
Rex Ryan was one I remember correctly. It was terrible.
It's always
Ryan and
crazy.
Beth Mullins, I think.
Yeah, and so we all remember this, and then they just unveiled their new Monday Night Football crew after a great game with like the A squad.
I think they'll be fine once they get into a rhythm, but following that the College Game Day crew is tough.
It's impossible. They're the best. They're the best.
And then your Big Ten is back.
Oh wait, I'll have it on my cool throne.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, let's talk about it right now. I think it is.
I think it's we need to separate the rumors from the facts because there were a lot of rumors out there, not a lot of facts. So to clean it up, rumor, the Nebraska president was caught on a hot mic saying that the season was coming back. Rumor, fact, Sir Yacht is reporting that it's coming back.
So, first reported by Jeff Nadeau.
Okay.
No, not actually. He just said he wanted everyone to credit him after Nebraska president hot mic. So I think what happened, and in Sir Yacht I trust, he's the only one who's given me hope, even though I'm pretty sure he's made up a lot of the things, but that's okay.
I think Sir Yacht was started as a parody account just to try to get Big Cat interested in the fact that the Big Ten is coming back.
I've too much. All right, so I think the Nebraska president, what has happened is I do think the Big Ten's going to be back. I think they're going to announce it tomorrow. There's a mini power play inside the power play that Nebraska feels like they are the team that spearheaded this. Remember, Scott Frost said, we're going to leave the Big Ten. We're going to play our own season. So they feel like they are responsible for the Big Ten coming back. So essentially, the quote-unquote hot mic, that guy knew it was a hot mic, said it to basically get the credit that Nebraska deserves, which I will absolutely say they deserve it. And now the Big Ten in a power play is being like, well, fuck you. We're not going to announce it tonight.
Well, Kevin Warren.
We don't want you to make you look like you got it today. Because he said, like, they were going to announce that the Big Ten is back tonight.
Right.
So now they're like, all right, well, we'll announce it tomorrow just to make you look bad.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Right.
Your report.
Right.
Yes. And also, Kevin Warren wants to save a little bit of grace in this because he's basically been the Roger Goodell of the Big Ten, where he says what everybody else tells him to say. And then he gets shit on for everything that happens. So he's trying to save some face. It's not going to work. Everyone's still going to, like, it's going to make him look even worse now because it's like, oh, you flip-flopped on it. And then the Pac-12, I don't think anybody really cares that strongly. Like, there's
oh, big, no, we got to no, get, we got to work we, on the Pac-12.
We
got to send Sir Yacht out
do,
to fucking
what I'm saying
California.
Is there hasn't been a Nebraska of the Pac-12 yet.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Oregon State has been trying to be the Nebraska, just nobody has paid attention to him.
Keaton Slovis did write a letter to Gavin Newsom, so that's at least getting things moving for the state of California,
okay.
Hopefully. I do think...
The state's literally on fire.
Yeah, well...
Maybe he'll forget about
it. They played the A's game in the middle of a fire.
Right.
We just need to send Sir Yacht. Sir Yacht, what even is his name?
Well, Sir Yacht
his name's probably like Troy.
Sir Yacht is the least Big Ten name of all time.
Yeah,
that should be a Pac-12 guy.
Yeah, he should go up to Washington.
He should be Sir Pontoon if he's a Big Ten guy.
Yes. So, yeah, I do think the Big Ten is back. That's all I want. It seems like it's going to be October 17th, 8-game season.
That's fine.
And if I really want to get ahead of myself, and now we're sitting here and it has not been official, but I did have a side conversation with some of my friends from my college friends, and the conversation did end up being, if there's an 8-game schedule and we don't have Ohio State on the schedule, this might be the best chance that Wisconsin ever has to go to the college football playoff.
That's a fact.
So that's how far back in I am.
That is a fact. 8 games. Anything can happen in 8 games.
8 games. If we just play our division and then the crossover isn't like super hard, just got to win one in Indy. December 19th.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Circle just got to win
calendar.
One in Indy. Just got to win. Got to just be legends for 60 minutes and then go to the college football playoff and get the shit kicked out of us by Clemson.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just so excited that football is actually going to be like a main part of our lives for the next 4 to 5 months.
It feels great. It feels great.
I was worried, Big Cat. I was worried as recently as mid-August that football wasn't going to work. Guess what? Football always plays. Football works.
I'm just going to knock on wood. Yeah, we're still a little worried.
Yeah.
We're still a little worried.
Quick this league update. Clippers guard Lou Williams after the game said,
Fuck playoff P.
Pretty much. We had championship expectations. We had the talent to do it. We didn't have the chemistry to do it.
See ya, P.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, P.
Should have had a team dinner up at, was it Magic City?
Maybe you shouldn't have signed a player who, you know, used to bang the coach's daughter and then left
her
for a stripper.
Good point. Mm-hmm. How long do you think till P's getting teabagged by his dog?
Happening right now.
I forgot about that.
It's all I think about. Coming up short in the playoffs and accidentally taking a picture with his pit bull's balls resting directly on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my playoff P.
Some of the guys brought their families in. Paul George just brought his dog into the bubble, just dragging his huge nuts behind him. Leaving a little trail.
He's got playoff P in his house. You know those, like, the kinky swingers? They have the actual swing, the fuck swing. He's got like a holder for his dog to elevate so his dog's balls can just rest on him at all times. Playoff P. You're such a clown, dude. I kind of feel bad. Get I almost feel that's bad. What it, that's I when almost feel bad.
You know what?
We're close to feeling bad.
This could be a blessing in disguise. If he takes this really hard, he spends the next like 5 months doing nothing but just eating comfort food, mashed potatoes and meatloaf all the time, and he puts on 60 pounds, fat playoff P, I'm totally on board with.
I wonder, can you like give back your contract? Because if I were playoff P, I'm not even joking, and I don't know how much money his playoff P made. By the way, I hope we never, ever call him by his real name again. We just keep saying Playoff P for everything. So Playoff P has to have made, his contract right now is $139 million. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how much money has he made, though, in his career? Because what I would do, and I'm not joking, I would give my money back. You have it?
$217,812,725.
He's made.
Correct.
Or he's going to make.
That is since 2010 with the Pacers.
Okay, so he has over $200 million.
Including throughout this contract.
Okay, wait, so that does count what he still has left. What has he made, though? Give me the number that he's made. What does he have in the bank?
Earnings in 10 seasons is $144,847,045.
All right, perfect, 144. If I were him, I would be like, rip up my contract, throw it away, I don't want any of that money, and then go sign like a $2 million a year contract with the Lakers and be the fourth banana behind Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Caruso.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
And no one will care.
Why not?
No one will think about you.
All you have to do is just make one decent-sized shot in the playoffs on that team.
Yes,
and then you're Mr. Clutch. Then you're the new Robert Horry.
Or go to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Imagine if he goes to the Warriors.
Oh, my God.
That actually would probably ruin the Warriors.
He takes the David West deal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he should start ring chasing now, even though he's like 30 years old. Just be like, all right, I'm done. I'm done trying to be playoff P. Oh, man, I do actually kind of feel bad for him. I'll say something nice about Playoff P. I actually like his shoes.
Yeah.
I like his shoes. I wear them sometimes.
They could be a lot. That's really the only thing that separates him from James Harden right now.
Yeah.
That he has better shoes.
Yes. Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. Playoff P really should get – he should have gone to his press conference in a Harden jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, remember this guy?
Yeah, this guy stinks worse. This guy's a bigger disappointment
than I am. This guy's a bum. I've just been a recent bum. All right, let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hot Seat Cool Throne this week is brought to you by...
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Hank.
My hot seat is love.
Oh, no.
Cardi B and her wet ass P are divorcing Offset.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Single.
That is some news, Hank. That's some good news.
You sound really sad, PFD.
I mean, I'm sad that love is on the hot seat, but rebounds are on the cool throne, it sounds like.
Indeed.
Cardi B, hit me up.
My other hot seat is Carole Baskin.
Oh, damn it.
Sorry, Billy. She was on Dancing with the Stars. She was a horrific dancer.
Really playing fast and loose with the word stars on this one, aren't we?
Yeah, it was something. She was an absolutely terrible dancer, and then her dead husband's family took out an ad that ran right. So it was like her dance, commercial break, her dead husband's family being like, Carole Baskin murdered our son.
Fuck yes.
So that was probably a bad. I'm sure ABC and Dancing with the Stars like were not happy. That's kind of how optically it played out. And that's all anyone was talking about was like the advertisement.
Well, they took the money for it, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I think ABC played this. They played both sides like a fiddle.
Yes. Absolutely.
Good for them.
Absolutely.
I love it when corporations...
They middled that, for sure.
Good job, Disney.
Carole Baskin's just... She gives off, I will murder you vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She does.
Like, she gives off, we'll be fine, and then one morning I'll make you some pancakes and they'll be...
Yeah, like the...
Cyanide in them.
Like the guy, Robert Durst. Like, it's like, I killed someone and I'm just kind of still going through life, but like, I'm not really denying it. Like, I'm just like... I'm a killer.
I the thing that I can't understand.
I'm a killer and I got away with it.
I can't wrap my head around whether she's a genius for doing this, like hiding in plain sight, or this is all going to blow up in her face. Because if she killed them, which I would lean yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Now you can say whatever you want.
Allegedly.
Murderer.
Doing Dancing with the Stars has to be the worst move.
Yeah.
It makes a cold case hot as hell.
I think you're underestimating the rush you must get if you get away with murder.
Right.
I have to imagine that if you do that, like you kill somebody and for 20 years or however long it's been, you don't get caught, you probably feel like you can do whatever the fuck you want for the rest of your life.
Yes. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, but she creeps you out.
Yes.
Big time. Then my cool throne is us, you guys, AWLs, PMT Twitch. We finally are set up in the studio. We're going to start getting back on a more consistent schedule. Check that out. Part of my take Twitch.
I'm getting good at golf.
PFT is playing PGA.
Let's go.
Watch out.
Shout out to NZXT for the PC hookup. I don't know why we didn't set this up in our studio like a year ago, but we're Gucci now.
Blake Koepka is tearing
get
it up.
Get it.
That goes nicely into, well, that's my cool throne, so I'll save up that for later. But my hot seat is Insomnia because Pepsi is making Sleepy Cola. Do you see what? That? They're making a cola for bedtime.
Mm.
So it's got lavender in there.
I'm in it.
Yeah, no more night terrors for Big Cat if you're drinking nighttime Pepsi.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel like if you drink something really cold at bedtime, it's too refreshing. It would keep you awake.
Yeah.
You got to warm it up.
Like a bottle?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Put
like
it in a baby bottle.
I like I baby.
It's dude, just a nipple at the top of
can
it.
Can I speak freely for a second? There's I moved a couple months ago, and I have a dick microwave.
You have a? Oh, how have you hung on to that for this long?
I kind of didn't really connect because it's a little bit below the dick, so it's.
But
like,
you're taller than Skip Bayless,
right? But it's like. It's more like kneecap.
It's a belly.
It's down. Like the my apartment is not. I noticed it right away. The one good benefit of having everything built lower is that it's great for pissing in the sink
because mm-hmm.
it's like a trough for me. But
I mean, having a microwave at that level is also great if you have a toddler that's walking around that's learning to press buttons.
No, you're right. So the problem is, I put his bottle in the microwave to warm up his milk, and. He fucking puts his head like right next to the microwave every time, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure either I'm going to have a genius or his brain's going to be fried.
He's going to be
you
a
on
genius.
The record saying that, like how much money you would put a baby in the microwave for?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What was your answer?
I think it was $30,000.
Yeah, just to put it
for,
in
like, 2 seconds.
Oh wait, and actually turn it on.
This was like
okay,
nine
that's
years
a different
ago.
Story. Yeah,
this is nine
actually,
years
I'll
ago.
Do it for free.
I had significantly less money then, so yeah, I would have. I now would not. Although he's a toddler now, so he wouldn't fit in the microwave anymore. But when he was a baby, he did. He would have fit.
I mean, I just can't believe that you haven't made content out of the dick microwave yet. We got to get you a Mitchell Trubisky jersey that you can put in there.
I know. It didn't dawn on me because it's small. It's shorter than my dick. Like if it was truly dick level, uh-huh. I would have been right away. Like, hey guys, check this out. It's a little too far down. But yeah, I did, Hank.
That's a really
good
bad,
point. It's a good
bad
pull.
Level for a microwave.
Yeah, it is. No, it sucks.
Yeah,
it's
what
terrible.
Are you ever going to put in there?
Baby's bottles would, and maybe my baby but if I keep losing.
I would just look down at it. Even if I had, like, a thing of popcorn in my hands, I would look down and be like, no, that's too far.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I can't be bothered to do
that.
Yeah.
Well, it's my old apartment, I had to... There's not enough counter space for a microwave, so we had to put it underneath and then pull it out every time. So this is an upgrade.
Okay, nice.
That really will make you not eat popcorn.
Yes,
to have to lift up a microwave
and like plug it in.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah. The plug in.
My
it's
cool
tough.
Throne is the course. The course is back. The U.S. Open is about to be played at Wingfoot this week.
Yep.
And there's some videos coming out of caddies like just throwing balls onto greens and watching them roll off. There was one that was on there for 40 seconds. It rolled for 40 seconds off the green. So after getting emasculated the last couple of years, the USGA has decided it's time to take back the Open.
I love
it. And the Wingfoot, it looks like it has gone fully rogue right now.
It's going to be incredible. So that's actually a perfect segue. I'll do my cool throne first. I have golf fans on my cool throne because not only do we have the course, but we have Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth. Teamed up, they're in a threesome on Thursday and Friday.
Who's the girl?
those guys hate each other.
Yeah,
remember that 2018? They had the big blow up at the Ryder Cup.
Well, I don't think you could put Patrick Reed in a pairing with somebody who'd be like, yeah, hell yeah, I get to golf with Patrick.
Right, but remember this was Spieth and Reed were awesome in the Ryder Cup, and then in 2018, Spieth was like, nah, I don't want to play with that guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a disaster. The U.S. got smoked. And Patrick Reed and his wife went on a tour being like, Jordan Spieth's an asshole. So they get to play together. That will be awkward.
Yeah. Keep your wallet in your front pocket, Jordan.
Watch your wallet. And then my hot seat is Adam Gase is officially on the hot seat because PFT, your man, ranted on him. Mike Greenberg said Adam Gase is unqualified to coach youth football.
Oh, man.
You know a good Greeny rant, because a good Greeny rant is enough anger and then nothing memorable about it whatsoever.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, like, Mike Greenberg is the most unqualified person to say who's qualified to coach youth football.
Right.
Mike Greenberg, right. He had, like, a permission slip from his parents to not come anywhere close to a football field until he turned 18.
I just love Greeny rants because they're so scripted and they're, like...
Careful.
What?
Just careful.
When
Greeny speaks from the heart.
When you think about, like, content creators out there, mm-hmm. you can think of something memorable they said or like some opinion they had where like, oh, they really put their, you know, nuts on the line for that. Greeny has zero.
Well, yeah, Greeny's waited until week two of the Adam Gase, or is this year three?
Year three,
week two of the Adam Gase experience to say that he thinks he's not a good coach.
Greeny, as Adam Gase is being escorted out, he's like, I've had enough of Adam Gase.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Greeny's still waiting to formulate his first opinion on like 808s and heartbreaks. Mm-hmm. He is he's a guy that he'll nest on it like it's an egg that he's keeping warm.
He'll wait for a long time. All right, Billy, finish this up, and then we'll get to Dan Patrick.
So I had two hot seats. One was Big Ben's walking boot. One was Carol Baskin's.
All right, my thanks, new Billy. All right, go ahead.
My new one is CJ McCollum roasted the Clippers, and nice. He tweeted.
So who's your hot seat?
The Clippers.
Okay. All right. Nice. You got this.
Good. No, Jake's got a better one.
Oh, Jake's got a better one.
Hot seat is Tropical Vacations because the eight teams.
Careful.
Has nothing to do with you. I know you're like, well, you're not happy with me right now, but
why are you not? Oh, because of the heat.
Yeah.
Hank's very snappish right now.
So the eight teams that are supposed to play in the battle for Atlantis, they're moving it from the Bahamas to the Sanford Pentagon in South Dakota. That's some difference of location.
The Sanford Pentagon?
Including Duke.
Whoa.
That sucks.
Watch out for attorneys vacation general vacation, up there. Though. Yeah, you might get hit by a car.
Bahamas, South Dakota, same thing.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Bahamas, Mount Rushmore.
By the way, Billy, you have an easy hot seat. Well, actually, Cool Throne, your haters.
Why?
Because you're going to be focused on school on Sundays, so you won't be here on Sundays. So the haters, Cool Throne.
Bye, everybody.
But hot seat.
I thought you didn't come to play school.
The Billy stands, which there are Billy stands. You will not hear Billy on Sundays.
This is really confusing. Let me just read the CJ McCollum
tweet. All right, do it.
My last tweet before I finished this class, they did vote they ain't want to play no more, but I didn't think they was going to go out like that on the Clippers.
Oh, good for CJ.
Oh, that's good.
And it's funny because like people are saying that CJ should not be talking that shit about the Clippers because obviously the Blazers are no longer in the playoffs, but I can't recall the Blazers ever looking as like pathetic as the Clippers look tonight.
Well, and CJ's having Dame Lillard back after Dame Lillard, remember, had that big fight with all the Clippers.
Yeah.
When he missed those free throws, and they were talking about them going to Cancun and Paul George and everything. So I think this is fair play.
And I wanted to put Aaron Rodgers on the Cool Throne because everyone gives him a lot of shit, but he went off past weekend.
All right. Thank you, Billy. Very, very cool.
Topical.
have you noticed his beard? I have a prediction to make about Aaron Rodgers' facial hair this year. So he's growing out the big hipster beard. He looks like a bartender. And I think that at least by week 10 or 11, he's going to shave it into an ironic mustache.
Mm-hmm.
I even think he might do the curlicues.
He's going to do, cowboy.
He's going to do the waxing thing at the end. And it's going to be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is so goofy and funny.
He's going to look like a guy who would give you some cocktail you never heard of in a steel mug in Brooklyn.
Yeah, hey, check this out. It's got fennel in it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
That'll make
our own ice cubes here. Yeah. All right. I like that.
Tips included.
That's going to happen. All right, let's get to Dan Patrick. Before we do that, a word from our friends. Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, here he is, Dan Patrick. Okay, we now welcome on our good friend, recurring guest. It is Dan Patrick. The Dan Patrick Show is now on Peacock, streaming on Peacock. You need to get Peacock. If you don't have it, do it right now. The Dan Patrick Show streaming every single day. Great to have you back on, Dan. Congratulations on going back to NBC. Would you ever leave? No, you did leave, yeah.
Sort of. Yeah, I sort of left. And then when they gave me the opportunity to come back and be part of Peacock, then I thought, you know, I'm ready to go back in.
Yeah.
Have you learned to not giggle when you say streaming on Peacock?
Mm-hmm. Get Peacock.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Grow up, will you?
It's very funny to me still.
All right. By
the way, who came up with the set design there?
We just kind of throw shit in the room.
You don't like it? It's like the it's the mini Dan Patrick Show. You guys have a basketball hoop because you like to flop around and shoot hoops and low contact, and we have a bench press and a squat rack because we're real men.
Well, I have a bench press and a squat rack as well.
No one uses it. No one on your shoot. Maybe the behind-the-scenes guys.
Paulie does, and McLovin does.
Actually, I'm not surprised. Well, McLovin, I mean, Perloff does not bench. What does he bench? He's Kevin Durant.
No, he benched 225.
Oh, get out of here.
No, I swear he did. We had a contest. I've never been more proud of the Danettes when McLovin, he benched 225 three times.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. That is because his arms are like 4 feet long each.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he is Durant-like in his size for our space there.
All right. My first real question is, you promised me Big Ten football, and now I don't have it. So
no,
what the
I didn't
fuck?
Promise. I didn't promise.
You did.
No,
you got me excited.
I told you. Well, you're not alone because everybody else has said. I thought you said they're coming back October 10th. I said no. The target date is October 10th. That allowed them to play 10 games, and then they could get into the playoffs. Whether they get to the October 10th date, which I doubt. What their plan was. And it's a long shot, but that was the plan.
So they have a target date. What if they miss the target? Is there a backup target date?
Well, now I heard this morning that they're looking at now it may be November. The doctor, the medical community and some of the Big Ten schools say, let's push this out to November. I don't think anything's going to happen here because you're looking at the states now have problems. State of Illinois with Illinois Northwestern, Michigan with Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland. I don't know about Rutgers. So how many teams are you going to have that are going to be able to play? Eight, maybe?
I'm fine with that. Just have Iowa and Wisconsin play every single weekend, and then Ohio State can just circle the rest of them and beat them up.
Maybe just have an elimination tournament, and then Ohio State just waits for the winner.
That's fine with that, too.
That's a great idea.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I know deep down that it's probably not going to happen. I know deep down what's happening is there is some posturing going on where schools are basically pretending that they're fighting for there to be a season when they could have had a season and they didn't. I just, you said October 10th and I'm sticking to that. And you let me down. Let's just say that you let me down.
I apologize. The Pac-12 is not going to play this fall. Just letting you know, I don't want you to have your hopes up. Even if your hopes were up before, they're not going to play football this fall.
Is that breaking news? Are you breaking news again?
No. Oh, it's okay. Going to be, they're going to try to play in January.
Yeah.
But yeah, they took all of the drama and intrigue out. There's no, hey, we might play, we could play.
Right.
Big Ten is still holding out hope. And then when President Trump got involved and then talked to the commissioner of the Big Ten, I think people thought, oh, so this is really going to happen. And then he said, we're at the 1 yard line. I said, we're not even in the red zone.
Oh, okay. But the SEC is definitely happening.
Yes. They're playing ACC and Big 12.
All right. So now this is more of an inside baseball question. But when you break a news story, I think you actually had the Big 10 canceling the season first. Do college football writers get mad at you because it's kind of their turf and you're getting in on it? Or do you hear anything back from them? Are they like, what? How the hell did Dan Patrick get it before us?
No, a lot of times what happens is somebody will confirm your story.
Yep. We call that the Schefter.
The ESPN way that, you know, if we didn't break a story, we would confirm a story. Therefore, we were able to take the story and make it ours.
Yep.
But no, for the most part, I mean, I welcome if it's Pat Forty or Bruce Feldman, any of those guys, if they have information, I'm always open to having them on. But no, I would hope that they're not envious, jealous, or angry that I'm you know, doing this show, but somehow able to, you know, break those stories.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing this for a while, and this is really the first time that everything has, you know, been put on total hold in the sports world. Do you find yourself like struggling to, I don't know, like it's obviously less fun to spend your summertime talking about this stuff than it would be to talk about, you know, that's Mount Rushmore season typically, which is a sacred time of year if you're in sports radio. But like you have to, you know, switch gears entirely. Do you find yourself not having as much fun talking about, you know, the real serious stuff?
I think it's not as much fun because you're talking about some pretty serious issues. And then everybody wants to grab what you're saying and then twist it a little bit. If I talk COVID, then I'm politicizing it or weaponizing it. And all I did is personalize it because I have a compromised immune system. I said, look, you know, this is my world and this is how I see it. But it's not meant to be political, but somebody grabs it and they go, oh, you know, typical, whatever. And then they run with it. But for the most part, we've had probably more things to talk about. When, you know, you talk about there was the draft, there was Brady, there was Gronk. I mean, you go down the list and you realize there were so many things that were happening that didn't deal with the game itself, but there was so much news attached to it. Mahomes' deal, now Watson's deal. We dealt with Dak Prescott's potential deal that he was going to have. And I think it made us better as a show because you couldn't just take it for granted, hey, let's talk about what the Lakers did last night. You right. really had to think about who we were having on and what stories we were going to follow. So I don't want to go through it again, but I'm glad we went through it from the perspective of it made our show better.
How did all the Danettes do? Was there any more extra infighting with, you know, not as much stuff to talk about? Everyone's got to come up with new ideas.
No, because I said, you guys stay at home. I want you to be safe. So Paulie stayed in here, my producer. We had a skeleton crew. So I said to Fritzy and Seton and McLovin, if you guys aren't comfortable being in here, stay in your home. And they did that for a few months because I can't say you got to come in. I just said, if you want to come in, come in. But if you want to stay at home, I don't care how long you stay at home because you can still contribute. But, you know, they were glad, let's put it that way, to get back in the studio. Mm-hmm. You know, have meet Friday and be yeah. able to shoot basketball and, you know, get away from being, you know, confined.
So they all talked about how Paulie was a suck up because he was coming in with the boss every day. Got it. Not trying to start infighting, but that's clearly what happened, right?
Paulie doesn't know how to suck up. He doesn't. Fritzy does. McLovin does. But Paulie, no. Paulie doesn't. He doesn't care.
Who would you say loves you the most out of all the Danettes?
Like, loves you, single white female, love
no,
me?
No, like, if there was an, if someone's trying to assassinate Dan Patrick, who would be the quickest to jump in front of the bullet? Oh. Oh.
I was going to say nobody, but I got to pick somebody mm-hmm. here. I'm going to guess Paulie.
Yeah.
Just so he could then tell everybody that he did it. Fritzy, no way. McLovin, no way. Seton might, but I guess I'd say Paulie.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I that's probably it. Just a, yeah, elimination.
He'd do it in the off chance that the bullet wasn't fatal, and then he could have that yeah. scar for the rest. He'd do the show. He'd take off all his flannel and just be doing a show with a bullet wound in his right shoulder, just being like, this is where I took one for Dan.
Yes. He would probably try to negotiate with the guy and be like, hey, listen, I can – I got a great property for you in Vermont. Why don't you move up here?
Yeah.
Your property's real cheap. I get that text from him probably once a month being like, hey, look at this place not too far from me. And I'm like,
it's in Vermont.
I love it, but I'm like, Paulie, I'm not moving to Vermont, man. Like, I'm not moving to Vermont.
Well, he got Chris Mannix.
He did?
To move
oh,
up there.
God. So he's been working on everyone. I think he just wants the whole, like, sports media world to move to Vermont. It's actually an ambitious undertaking. I like it.
Well, he got Mannix to move up there, and they lived about a couple of hundred yards away, and they had walkie-talkies. So they would talk to each other on walkie-talkies from their homes. Sad.
Listen, I hope he never stops sending because that means he cares. So the minute he stops sending me the real estate listings in Vermont, that means that he doesn't consider me a friend anymore. So I hope they always keep coming.
All right, I'll let him know.
You do, jumping back to the assassination thing real quick, you do find yourself in a position where, you know, somebody that works for you could pay somebody to fake try to kill you, and then they become the hero because, I mean, you like you control all the strings there, Dan. You're like, you know, you are the guy that's in charge, so it is very worthwhile to try to get on your good side. Do you find yourself like looking at any present they give you or any compliment they give you with like an air of suspicion?
They don't give me presents and they don't give me compliments. Just letting you know. It's the most needy staff. When I walk out after doing the show, they wait to be told great show. It is never reciprocated. I've worked with Fritzy for over 20 years. And I said to him, do you know that you've never complimented me first? Never. Because if I go out, you know, let's say he books a couple of great guests, I'll always say, hey, Fritzy, hey, great job today. And then he'll go, you too. And I said, Fritzy, you've never said, hey, great show. And he said, I have to believe I've done it once or twice. I said, in over 20 years, you probably have done it maybe once or twice. Mm-hmm. So that's the audience I play to.
Yes.
How do you handle something like, for example, this morning in sports media? Because you have a respectable show, I would say. We don't have to worry about having the same level of tact that you have, but when the first thing that's trending all over social media in the morning is Odell Beckham Jr., and you find out why Odell Beckham Jr. is trending on sports media, like, you probably can't really get into the weeds too much on why he's trending. Where do you draw that line? It's like, okay, well, the whole world's talking about it, but we can't.
Well, there's a lot of things the whole world can be talking about, and I can't. But it's better to just touch on it in a little nudge there. Or we know it, we can't touch it. Because I said I always thought he was a number one wide receiver and not a number two. That's and good. Then Seton, of course, you know, then he laughed and Paulie laughed. And then that was it. We didn't have to touch on it. And then we move on. Because it's not like I can go, hey, let's get a couple of – hey, let me get Shefty on the phone. Hey, Shefty, what do you think of this Odell Beckham Jr. story?
Assault.
You
know?
I actually – that was one of my favorite parts about the story is that, like, a Schefter or a Rappaport, all these guys sitting there and not being able to get involved. And that you just know it's killing them that they can't tweet about it. It's like, no, this is us. Like, we get to do this. You don't get to do this.
But, Kat, I was waiting for Shefty to confirm the story.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Confirmation that it actually happened.
I'm hearing that it did happen and that she did not wipe.
Yeah, he would do that. My story.
He adds like the little nugget on top of it, and he's like, "This is my part of the story. I'm going to plant my flag."
Yeah, per sources. I think last time we had you on, we asked you how long you're going to be doing this for. Now that you've re-upped with the cock, what do you think in terms of like Dan Patrick retiring in 3 to 5 years? What are we looking at?
I'm going to guess in 5 years I'll be done.
I think you told us 5 years like 3 years ago.
I've been on the 5-year plan for about 10 years.
Okay.
But I this time I mean it.
No way.
No chance. I've done enough damage. I've bothered enough people that it's time for somebody else. So 5 years, that's it. I'm done doing a daily show.
So right when Peyton Manning's son, or no, Arch Manning, right when Arch Manning is getting to the NFL, you're going to walk away at that point.
And LeBron James' son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, I've been around doing this for such a long time, and I'm very lucky to have done it. But, you know, after a while, when you see somebody's retires and then their kid comes in and then they're ready to retire, and then you go, that's a long time. But I've been fortunate. I like it. I love doing this every day. I could do without TV. Radio is so much fun because, as you guys know, you come in and you go, what do you want to talk about?
Right.
And then you just start firing away. Mm-hmm. And that's what's fun about it. And the reaction you get from people is real. They can call you. They can tweet. They can email. They can respond to you automatically or in real time. And you can't do that anymore. Newspaper columnist or TV host doesn't get to do that. So I enjoy it. I appreciate it.
Now, when you say that, just to clarify, you mean like radio is fun, that but also the streaming when you guys are just not you're saying TV when it's like a big set, Football Night in America,
like Football Night in America,
right? Yeah. That's a different beast in its own. Got it.
Yeah, because it's so much time leading up to an hour of being on TV that you spend 8 to 10 hours to get to. You know, SportsCenter was the same way. We would get in. And then we'd have a 3 o'clock rundown meeting, and then we wouldn't be on the air till 11. And it's just all of that time, and then you get on. And like, who is has to be their best at the end of the day.
All right. Yeah, that's us. That's
we
our
tape
territory.
It like midnight. Yeah. No, seriously. Football season okay. being back. Well, on Sunday yeah. nights, we literally tape the show at like 12:30.
But it's hard though because you got to gear up
yes,
to that.
Yeah.
Like SportsCenter, I would drink 4 20-ounce bottles of Coca-Cola each night.
Oh, party animal!
Jeez.
Because I wanted to be on fire when I got to 11 o'clock because you're tired.
Yeah.
And then I would get done at, let's say you're on 11, you're done at 12. I'm home by close to 1, 3 beers, and then in bed.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, so you do that. I was on second shift for 15 years. Not the healthiest way to approach your job, but that's what it was just about every night.
That's like Keith Richards stuff right yeah. there.
No, it's true.
three beers, four. Are we talking full sugar Cokes or diet?
Yeah. Diesel. No, hardcore.
Yeah.
Heavy?
Absolutely.
Coke heavy?
Hell yeah. No, yeah. you're right, yeah. though. It is. We do. We like, it's more the idea that you still have something left in your day. Like, you could be sitting, when we're sitting here, it's not hard for us to get up at 12:30 after a full slate of NFL games. It's more that, like, you just know that you, no matter what, you still have, like, the work part of your day coming up.
Yeah. And it's live as well, so you add a little degree of difficulty there. But I love that. I love that part because you were always on edge. You know, you had to be ready to go if you screwed up on a highlight or whatever it might be. And, you know, it probably didn't help that I was all wired up from the soda that I was drinking,
right.
But yeah, I got amped up and then I had to quickly come down with 3 beers in less than an hour.
And then when you're doing Football Night in America, you have to hang out with Peter King all day. And he's probably telling you stories of
smoking
doobies yeah. with the Doobie Brothers.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Bruce Springsteen up to 11 and driving 67 miles an hour up 95. Mm-hmm.
I was with Peter King one night. We were at dinner in New York, and it's the Sunday night guys. We would get there on Saturday night, and we'd have dinner. And we started telling stories, and then Tony Dungy started telling a story. And Peter King says to Tony, "Tony, you're wrong, and here's why." And we just stopped because Tony was talking about something to do with coaching, and Peter just says, "Tony, you're wrong, and here's why." And then we just went, "Holy shit, he's telling Tony doesn't know what he's talking about." That's Peter.
Yeah.
That's Peter.
He's
yeah.
So much like information inside of his head.
So wait, when you're like 5 years from now, if you leave the Dan Patrick Show and they inevitably give it, let's say, to Ross Tucker, Ross Tucker gets that gig and you're on the road and you accidentally tune in to the new Dan Patrick Show with Ross Tucker, you're not going to listen and be like, "I need to come and I need to take my show back."
No. Once I go, I'm gone. Like, once I left SportsCenter, I was gone. Football Night in America, once I left, I was gone. I won't look back. Absolutely not. But that would be funny, the Dan Patrick Show featuring Ross Tucker.
Hosted by Ross Tucker. Yeah, yes. And then you pull a Jay Leno and you come back like 2 weeks
you're
later.
Like, fuck this. I'm back, baby.
We're going to get back to Dan Patrick in just a second. Before we do, let's talk about 3Chi. You've heard us talk about 3Chi. We love 3Chi. I've got their gummies in my backpack right now as we speak. If you're not a drug guy like me, but maybe you like some of the experiences that you get when you indulge in a little of the old classic Delta-9 THC, 3Chi is the perfect substitute. It's Delta-8 THC. It's a federally legal version of THC. It's the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. All of 3Chi's products are formulated by a biochemist. All their products are made in the USA with USA-grown hemp. When they released their Delta-8 products, they were the very first federally legal THC products sold in the USA since Prohibition started almost 90 years ago. So if you like some of the feelings of Delta-9, but you don't want the mental fogginess, you don't want the paranoia, you don't want the laziness, and you don't want the anxiety, switch on over to 3Chi's Delta-8. Their users report feeling far more active, more outgoing, increased confidence, almost none of the anxiousness and the paranoia that you get with Delta-9 usage. Again, it's a federally legal version of THC. It's a perfect substitute for anyone who uses Delta-9 that wants the same great feelings without the negative side effects. It'll have you feeling amazing, but you're going to be functional. You will be clear-headed, not going to be lazy. You're not going to be paranoid. 3Chi isn't just the best in the Delta-8 industry. They invented the industry. Again, it's 100% hemp-derived. You can check them out online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com.
and at select retailers around the country. You have to be 21 to purchase because this is serious stuff. Go to 3chi.com, and we're going to knock 5% off your order. They don't have to give you a discount. The product is that good. I think it is the most universally beloved product that we have. Actually, I'm not going to say that because we love all of our sponsors. Love you, sponsors. Big smooches. Other sponsors, stop listening. We love 3chi. 3chi is the shit. It's awesome. You will love it. Check it out at 3chi.com. Use promo code PMT at checkout. Get 5% off your order. That's the number 3chi.com. Get some Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. You can make your own homemade edibles. Use promo code PMT. Get 5% off your order. Have to be 21 to purchase. And now back to Dan Patrick.
When you were on with us a couple years ago, we talked about Pete Rose. You shared a bookie with him. Yeah. Now that gambling has become legalized in a lot of states, and you actually see there's a new deal with the Cubs are doing a deal with, legalized gambling. I'm not going to shout out a competitor here, but do you think that Pete Rose will get in the Hall of Fame in his lifetime? And since you shared a bookie with him, do you think you maybe give the speech?
He shouldn't get in the Hall of Fame. He won't get in the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Don't you think it's
hypocritical?
Well, he was betting on his team.
Right.
But
if now
you bet on your team,
they're taking in gambling money. That's hypocritical.
I know, but he could manipulate the lineup. So what about the days that he didn't bet on his team? If you're a bookie, you're probably letting your friends know Pete's not betting on the Reds today. And then you may alter your pitching staff. You may use a pitcher, John Franco, more than he should because you want to win that day. If Pete would have stopped and never managed, Pete would probably be in the Hall of Fame. But, all that information came out about him gambling. And I believe it's like cheating in grad school. The undergrad, Pete was, magna cum laude. But you cheat in grad school, should that affect what you did, with undergrad? And it does with baseball. I grew up loving Pete Rose in Cincinnati, and it's tough to say it. Unless they go, here's Pete in the Hall of Fame. He's benefited more by not being in the Hall of Fame.
True.
If Pete was in the Hall of Fame, nobody would have talked about him the last 25 years.
Yeah.
But because of this, he became a sympathetic figure. He gets the biggest ovations of all of these players. Baseball has done this to Pete Rose. Pete Rose did it to himself. And it's unfortunate, but Pete the baseball player and Pete the person are the same thing. It's like Barry Bonds was his own worst enemy. Roger Clemens, his own worst enemy. A lot of these guys are their own worst enemy. That prevents them from, kind of getting out of their own way.
So why don't you punish Pete Rose by putting him in the Hall of Fame? Like, we'll show you,
yeah.
Pete. No one's going to talk about you ever again.
Mm-hmm. Shut him up.
I like it. That'll do it.
That actually probably would hurt him. Like, 6 years from now, if Pete was in the Hall of Fame, he'd be like, man, it sucks. No one's talking about I can't, show up at Hooters and get paid $200 per autograph anymore.
He made more money by not making it in the Hall of Fame.
That's good spin zone. I just think it's hypocritical, and obviously I love gambling. I think all sports should embrace it because it's inevitable.
What's the most you ever bet on a sporting event?
A lot.
Like how much?
Thousands. We're going to probably have to cut this. Thousands? More than thousands?
I bet 3,000.
I bet more than that. 5,000 is the most I've ever bet on a game.
Well, I bet 3,000, and I was up 6,000, and I bet on the Orange Bowl years ago. Last bet I made, and I lost the bet, so it cost me $3,300, and then I closed up shop after that. I've never gambled again.
Out a winner. You're out a winner.
I bet 2,000.
No, I lost. I lost $3,300.
No, you're up 6,000, though. You're out a winner.
I walked out with cash. Yeah.
I bet $2,000 on the Broncos in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, and then that was a mistake.
Too.
And
I
then
had them as well.
I was like, okay, I'm never betting that much again. And then I bet $2,000 on the Panthers against the Broncos because the Broncos fucked me over.
Mm-hmm. I had them too.
So at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm done betting that much. So I've shaved quite a bit off that. But
everybody has a bad beat too. Like Floyd Mayweather's never lost a bet, which I find interesting. He always tells us when he wins a bet. I lost a bet it was Bears Packers. Chester Markle was the kicker. All he had to do was make the field goal and I cover. Field goal blocked. He picks it up and he runs in for a touchdown. And I lost that. That was probably the worst bad beat I ever had. But that's one of those where you go, I didn't enjoy it.
Like, oh, I didn't need it. That's fun when you get that pain, when you're like, how the hell did this happen?
Oh,
yeah.
No, I never enjoyed the winning. I never enjoyed the winning. The losing, I couldn't watch games anymore.
Oh, see, I love it all. Like a real bad beat, that's shit you'll remember forever. I remember when they just magically put on time, Utah versus Duke in like the second round like 7 years ago. Like there's shit that just sticks with you, and that's what it is. It's you know, you tell those stories for the rest of your life.
I don't need to tell those stories. I'm glad that I don't have any more stories to tell from that last beat I had.
I mean, imagine if you were betting on, was it 1976 Olympics, and you had the USA against Russia in basketball, and that entire ending sequence, even if you lost that,
right,
you would never, ever forget where you were.
Get the story. Yeah. A bad beat is just so you just gain a good story.
It is, but I'm okay. I've got enough stories to go around. I don't need to go through that anymore. It was painful. I used to call up. There was a score, like you could dial up a number and you could get all the scores. And I wanted to call up. Let's say I had Army in 18 and they ended up covering. I would call up just to hear that score over and over again because it made me feel good.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When you got a winner and you're like, and you got the no doubter, there's nothing, no better feeling in the world.
Oh, I know gambling is going to be here really soon, and all these commissioners are looking for their piece of the pie. I mean, that was really the holdup. You know, they made it seem like, I think it was Roger Goodell said that gambling ruins families, and, you know, now everybody's, you know, changed their tune on gambling. Like, no, everything's good. It's a good participation sport, you know, for the family to be all involved.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm again, very biased, but I do think legalized gambling is a lot safer than people betting over their head with, you know, credit they don't have and all that stuff. Like it's like a lot of things that once you take it out of the shadows and it gets regulated, a lot of times be a lot safer.
Well, I wonder if we will get to the point where when we go back to stadiums, let's say you have sort of a gambling suite there.
Yeah.
That you can go in and place bets there, and it'll be governed by the NFL and the states, where you have to have cash to be able to bet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you just go in. You could bet on, like, soccer matches in the Premier League.
Yep.
Where you can bet while you're there. I think that's probably where we're headed, where we'll provide the bookie for you. Like, come on in and, you know, here's your winnings, and that'll cost you. But I think there's so many billions and billions of dollars that are attached to this that the NFL is going to capitalize more than anybody, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know you're not on Twitter much, if at all. Are you ever on Twitter?
No.
Okay. Do your guys ever freak out when Dan Patrick starts trending and it's the politician, not you?
Well, if they say, Paulie will go, you're trending, and then I know that it's the other Dan Patrick in Texas, the lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. And then I know that that's not going to be a good thing. But I'm to the point now where, you know, I just felt bad because I had people who I know who said, what do you have against old people? And I said, I don't know. What are you talking about? And they said, no, you're quoted as saying that, hey, old people die. And I go, oh, my God. And then I looked at what the lieutenant governor of Texas said, and I go, no, I'm all for old people. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they live long, great lives, you know. And then I'm going, people think that I'm against old people here. So
that you should just have your name switched back to being Dan Pugh.
Mm.
Well, it's a little late in the game.
Clear that right up.
No, yeah. It's not too late. Just do it.
Well,
you should do Dan Peacock if you're a company man.
Mm.
Mm, how about Danny P? Then it could be Pugh, Patrick, or Peacock.
Yeah, Danny Cox.
Yeah, go Cox. Go Cox. Yeah. Yeah, but if you grow up with a name like that, you're like, you know, I have six brothers and sisters. So we just kind of grew up and we knew, all right, go ahead, make the joke, and then we move on from it. I got to CNN, and that was in the early 80s, and my boss said, you got to change your name. And I go, I thought he meant my first name. I swear to God, because I'm attached to this name. Like, you know, at that point in my life, you know, so what? He goes, you can't go on the air and then people make fun of you. And then I go, oh, so I just said, all right, well, I'll just take my middle name. And then that was it. And my sisters were mad at me. And I'm like, you got married. You changed your name. What are you talking about?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a smart move. That was a smart
move. I think so. Yeah. I think so.
It worked out well in the long run. One thing people don't talk, I think, enough about you, Dan, is you have a great voice. Do you do voice exercises?
No.
You've never done like vocal training?
It's natural.
No. Very lucky. My grandmother had a great voice. Gravelly voice, but that was probably from bourbon. But I was just lucky. I don't, you know, when people say, how do you get a voice like that? And I go, I don't know. I just opened my mouth. So no, I didn't do anything. No vocal training.
It's very comforting. And I've also noticed that when I listen to your show, sometimes you are able to do like the pregnant pause or you really take your time in between words sometimes where you're obviously thinking about something. What's the longest you've ever gone between saying words?
Probably a good 6-7 seconds. Nothing. But you know what? There's something great about if you stop, then people stop as well. And there's something that, okay, now what are you saying after that is really important. But I don't like to go a mile a minute. I like to let it breathe. I like to slow it down sometimes, but I don't do it for effect. It's just sometimes you just do it where you're going, you know what? What is the right thing to say? Because everything is going to be examined. And you got to be careful, certainly in the last 5 months, with what are you saying and how are you saying it? And then how are people consuming it? So I've been probably even more aware of it than I have been in previous years. I almost paused for a little bit longer, though, but I didn't want to do that. Because you would have thought I was staging it.
Alternatively, you could take our approach, talk fast, make a lot of mistakes, fumble over yourself, and people are like, you guys are fucking idiots, so we're not going to, like, whatever you say doesn't really matter.
Well, there's probably some truth to that, because since there are two of us, sometimes three when Hank's chiming in, doing a show at once, there's really not an opportunity to pause, collect your thoughts.
There's long silences. See if we can get everyone to like be like, is my phone broken?
I actually think that we're incapable of doing it.
Yeah.
Because if both Big Cat and I stop talking for a second, Hank might think that we're waiting on him to comment on something.
Billy might fucking think that we're making fun of him.
Yeah, he'll start crying.
The whole thing just falls apart.
The house just goes to shit.
If
mom and dad stop talking for 3 seconds, this room will catch on fire.
Constant noise.
But we should try doing it. Like that.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
See?
That was uncomfortable.
It felt weird.
Can you close your legs, though? You're really distracting
Who,
me? PFT. Oh, no.
You can see PFT's balls?
You see my balls?
Yeah. Yes.
We had to blur out my balls on the episode of Barstool Van Talk that aired.
Pixelate those. You're rolling those things out
the
right
sweatpants.
Now.
Sweatpants. Yeah. Yeah, I accent them sometimes.
All right. I got two last questions.
Okay.
Two last questions. One, give us your hottest take for the NFL season. Don't give us, the Peacock version. Like, oh, I think Tom Brady's going to have a good year. Give us something you actually feel.
The cock take.
And we can really hold it to you for the rest of the year. Like I said, the Ravens were frauds. I took a lot of shit, and then I ended up being right, but I took a lot of shit. Like, give us a take that you're going to have to be like, stand behind it.
I can't give you my take until Thursday when the season starts.
Yes!
Well, we're not going to air this till after Thursday.
Packers aren't going to make the playoffs. There, I gave you mine.
Okay. Patriots don't make the playoffs.
Oh, Hank is mad.
Okay, PFT.
Hank is real life mad.
We're trading takes.
I think that the Panthers will be in the wild card conversation as late as mid-November.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Wow. Wait, late November?
Yeah, that way, since I used the term like late November, I can be very ambiguous.
Yeah,
and not really have to answer for my take.
And it was in the conversation.
Yeah, no, here's my take. The Broncos are making the playoffs. Denver Broncos making the playoffs this year. If they don't, I'll let some chick from Instagram shit on my chest.
That's good. That's really good.
don't hold me to that.
Yeah.
Hank's looking at me like, you said it. You have to do it.
Yeah. Again. Okay.
Well, that was a pause. I was actually reading. I Googled Dan Patrick Peacock in this. You have Facebook comments. You have one comment on your video. Susan K. McQueen. She seems nice. She said, Dan, Peacock sucks. Video in and out. Bad quality. Reruns not available for days and days. Please go back or add YouTube. I'm just telling you what the people are saying.
That's one person.
She doesn't. She seems angry. I would check. I would guess Susan McQueen does a lot of Facebook commenting.
You know what? Give me. I'm going to find her number. I'm going to actually call her.
Yes, have her on the show. Be like, hey, let's figure this out. I've watched it, and it's opposite. Everything works.
I'm
going to
call her. I'm going to call her and just apologize because that's what I do. It's one person. It's you know, one person at a time.
Yes.
That's how you build an audience like Barstool.
Yes. All right. So my last question.
Okay.
All right. So we are going to come up to Connecticut. We were planning on doing it, and then coronavirus happened.
Who are you bringing with?
It's going to be our crew. Yes. So it's me, PFT, Hank, and then so I think Billy Football, our intern, will be our fourth, and we'll play 3-on-3. What do you put the line at? 21 games to 21. So we're gonna play the Danettes.
Wait, how good is the intern here?
He's tall, but I don't think he really plays basketball.
He probably plays basketball like a football player. So probably doesn't really know what he's doing.
Yeah, but that guy can be dangerous.
All right, so let's say that he can. We'll pick a Danette, a fourth Danette that he can only sub in and out with.
All right.
So that's fair. So what's the three?
First to 21.
Yeah, it's gonna take. Okay. Days. Like, we're gonna have to get a hotel, we're gonna have to create a bubble because 21 will take a long time.
Yeah,
but we'll do it. Who are you betting on? Not that you bet.
I'd have to see you guys shoot around here
because
I know that you love playing. And you've got an unfair advantage. You've seen the Danettes. You've seen us scrimmage against Adam Sandler. You've seen us in
I'll put it this way.
I have no idea.
It's been about 6 years since I've played a competitive game of basketball, but I just touched rim over the weekend, so you should be afraid of that.
Well, you're athletic because I saw that when you were trying out as a place kicker.
Yeah, true.
And obviously you got meaty thighs because I'm seeing them.
Oh yeah, so right I put those away
in front of me. Damn.
I think we would win. I actually think it would all come down to how Hank's stamina is. Honestly.
How good is Hank?
Hank is like the perfect six man. Like, he gets hot. He's a microwave. He gets hot. And when he gets hot, he stays hot. But if he's cold, he's just going to be throwing it out of the gym. But if his stamina's there, you guys would be, the Danettes would be screwed. But Hank also, he smokes weed. So we all do. So that probably goes against us.
I would say you guys might arrive as favorites here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got to do
it. You guys would be like the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh.
You'd be coming in as favorites. And then all of a sudden, maybe the pesky Miami Heat would show up.
You think Giannis is a bust? You think he's a bum? Have you said that yet?
No.
So you're not doing your job.
What about a fraud?
Yeah.
Is he fraudulent?
What kind of show are you running?
I had no problem saying the Miami Heat would win that series against Milwaukee. I had no problem saying that whatsoever. Because in the playoffs, you can't just run up and down the floor like they do during the regular season. Miami has had a great philosophy here. But I think the Greek Freak has got to get a signature move.
Yeah.
And it's one move that he's got to have that because he doesn't beat you off the dribble. You know, he doesn't have a reliable shot. He doesn't shoot free throws well. But if he gets to run up and down the floor, then you will not stop him. But, you know, Miami's had a good defensive philosophy there.
Sounds like you're saying he's a bust.
Mm-hmm. No. And
a bum. I do like fraud. I like the way that you put it, though, which is a classic, like, late 90s talk. He needs a signature move. Like, I could imagine my dad getting mad at the TV when I was a kid watching sports because this guy doesn't have a signature move. Kareem's got the sky hook.
Yeah.
Jerry West had the logo move.
The other dad thing to do is be like, you know what, Giannis? He has to go and work on his post moves. He's got to get his back to the basket. He's got to learn He's got to learn his post moves in the summer.
Yeah, spend a summer with Dwight Howard and work on his post game. No,
he's got to go to like who was it?
Patrick Ewing was it,
Doug Moe Big Man Camp or somebody like that.
Yeah.
He's got to do like that. But you know, when you think about it. How many players of the older generation didn't have a signature move? Like very few guys. Will Chamberlain didn't have a signature move. Shaq didn't have a signature move.
I would say Wilt Chamberlain probably had a signature move. We probably didn't see it
off the court. Okay, right. I see where you're going here.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I'm trying to be serious and be a goddamn journalist, and then everything is a joke to you.
Well, because you won't fucking just say it. Giannis is a fraud.
You were saying I had to have a second hot take or something with the football segment. Are we done?
Okay, you're too measured, Dan.
Here's what we have to do. Just come up with the name of the move first.
Yeah.
And then tell him he has to learn it. Like, I like the Euro step.
The fraud buster.
The G-Y-R-O step.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, you got to come up with a Greek dish.
Yeah. Yeah. Spanakopita.
Yeah.
The
Taramusolata.
Mm.
The flaming cheese. What's that called?
Is that a Slovakia or something
yeah.
like that?
Flaming cheese. If he did that, if he like dunked on someone and then just lit a match. Yeah.
The tiramisu Superman.
Yeah.
Ooh,
would be
good I like too. That. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
See, this is what happened, you know,
the lamb jam.
20 years ago at SportsCenter when you tried to come up with catchphrases. This is what would have happened if we were sitting around talking about a player like the Greek Freak. You'd go, hey, we got to do a Greek dish here, and then that'll be the catchphrase for the Greek Freak.
Yeah.
As sad as that was.
Actually, that sounds like the best time ever.
Yeah,
it was. It was a lot of fun.
Now journalism is just calling people frauds.
Yes.
Look how far we've come. All right, Dan, thank you as always. We really appreciate it. Everyone go download Peacock.
Peacock.
Can watch Dan every single day, Dan and Danettes every single day. I'm happy you guys are back streaming. You're always part of my morning routine.
And
so
make sure you do try to come up. I want you guys
to. Yes, we want to play. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Hashtag we want to play.
We want to
and
play.
And what you want to do is come up on a Meat Friday.
Yes. Mm. I see that. And it looks good.
We'll get the Traegers fired up, ready to go, and then we'll have some beverages. I got beer on tap here, so we're good to go.
We should also all like have a wrinkle where we all have to play in Paulie's flannel shirts or something. That would be good.
I liked it. Yeah, we have to have jerseys.
He's definitely got three blue flannels and three red flannels, and we'll do that.
He does love his flannel.
He loves his flannel.
Shirts for skins, but it's pants versus bottomless.
Yeah, you don't want to see us with our shirts
just
off.
Balls off everywhere.
I've seen enough skin here.
Yeah, no, you don't want to see that.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
That interview with Dan Patrick was brought to you by MeUndies. Have you ever seriously thought about what kind of underwear you throw on every single day? I don't anymore. It's great. When I'm not wearing my my bird dogs that have the built-in underwear, you know what I'm wearing for underwear? MeUndies. It's the only type of underwear that I own. I probably have like 20 pairs, and it is so freeing, so relaxing to know that every single pair of underwear that you put on is your favorite pair. That's the life that I live right now, and it's life-changing. I highly recommend it. You've got some important stuff down there in the trousers, you know. Well, luckily, MeUndies has that thought covered. They're changing the underwear game with softer-than-soft, sustainable undies and fun prints. They got hedgehogs now and lots of colors so you can be comfy being you inside and out. They teamed up with Juju, our good buddy Juju Smith-Schuster, the wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You might be used to seeing him on the football field, but get used to seeing him in his undies. If he's not taking hits on the field, he's lounging in a onesie, which he says is like zipping up happiness all over his body. Juju swears by MeUndies undies both on and off the field for comfort that feels heavenly. Those are his words, and a color or a print for every single mood, every single vibe. Check out the new long boxer brief with the fly. It's the same soft brief, but it's longer, 9 inches to be exact, and perfect for getting in the game. Never run out of undies with the MeUndies membership, a subscription that sends new pairs right to your door. Plus, get site-wide savings and exclusive sales. MeUndies is life-changing. That's my words. That's not in the ad copy. MeUndies has changed my life for the better. They have a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. They've got the 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 15% off, your free shipping, and the 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/take. That's MeUndies.com/take. Thank me later for it. You will love your MeUndies. Get them at MeUndies.com/take.
Okay, let's get some segments, and then we will send you on your way. First up, we have Kicker's Psychology Couch. So every kicker in the NFL sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That was what we found out.
Except for Fat Randy. He was hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt. He actually isn't hurt.
No.
So back to suck it.
He's even worse hurt. He has two leg injuries. We thought he just had the one. So he missed the kick. Grabbed the right leg, and then after the game, he said, "Yeah, I felt my left calf, my left calf.
You got this.
Cramp up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
His left calf cramped up a little bit.
His left calf cramped up. So that 10 times fast.
Left calf cramped up.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's, but he's back.
He's back. Because
Cody Parkey's back.
Because everybody else stinks just as badly as he does. So you can't really point a finger at, I'm going to call him Lieutenant Randy.
I just love.
Both legs.
I love the fact that, like, with no fans in the crowd, you're thinking, how's the game going to be different? How, like, what's the, you know, will there be no home field advantage? How will offenses do? You know, you can audible, you can hard count, all this stuff. No, really, the only change that we can actually understand is that kickers are such mental cases that they can't kick when there's an, they're in an empty stadium.
Yes.
That's it. That's literally the only bit. Like, if you looked at week one, it looked like real football, except for the fact that every kicker sucked.
Yes.
Even kickers in Mile High.
It's down 71.6% as opposed to 81.6 last year. So it usually hovers right around 80-83%, and so it's down over 10% this year. I have a theory about why. Besides the fact that I think some kickers do like pick one person to aim for in the stands behind the net.
Yeah.
I actually think that the touchback has a lot to do with it. So all the kicks are, you know, they're all going for touchbacks. There aren't as many returns. I think that kickers are such head cases that sometimes, like, being involved in a kick return and getting hit a little bit, it kind of knocks them back into reality.
But so they're touchbacks not haven't been so much. Around for a while.
Touchbacks have been getting less and less over the last several years, and there's been, like, kind of a small downward trend.
I would say it's more about the extra point, which has also been for the last few years, because that's the extra point used to be free throws.
Well,
used to go to the line, see the ball go through the hoop, see the ball go through the uprights, and be like, okay, I got this. Now those aren't sure things, and it feels like this is some nerd can figure out the stats, but if a kicker misses an extra point, they're like 95% chance they're going to miss their next kick.
Oh, of course. But the interesting thing is that extra points aren't down at all this year.
No, but I'm saying mentally fucks them up more than the kickoff.
Yeah, if you miss what's supposed to be like a gimme extra point, then it does fuck you up.
And you can't like turn your brain off and just, that's, you know, when it used to be the 1 yard, 2 yard line, it was automatic. It was just get there, see, you know, almost like a nice practice rep that you get live practice rep. Now they don't have that. They have to be worried about it all the time.
I'm gonna pull a Brazilian soccer coach technique and just, no kickers are allowed to have sex until the percentage improves.
I just love kickers.
Abstinence only.
It's always fun. It's always fun to see kickers fuck up. That the Monday night game, we talked about it at the top, but like Gostkowski, just the pressure that you feel when you watch a game, when you know that a kicker is spiraling on tilt, it just makes for such great theater.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our next segment, we had Trouble in Paradise, Chicago Bears. It only took 2 days for the Bears to totally fuck up one of the best comebacks they've had in a long time. Allen Robinson wants to trade. Allen Robinson, this league, the hell out of his social media. He not only unfollowed and took out any mention of the Bears, he deleted every Instagram picture of him in a Bears uniform.
How much time do you think that took for him to just go through and scrub his social?
A while.
Probably a couple hours,
yeah,
right?
A while.
That's dedication. I guess he's... Is this supposed to apply pressure to a front office? Do front offices respond to that where they're like, oh shit, he untagged Ryan Pace in the team photo?
He's dumb enough that he could do it. I don't really understand why they wouldn't sign him, especially they gave some money. You know, giving... This is what happens when you give $13 million or whatever it was to Jimmy Graham, and Robert Quinn gets a bunch of money, and he's 30 years old. And then Allen Robinson is, outside of Khalil Mack, is your best player,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to pay him. So I don't really – it's very confusing. You also saw the sign that you are fucking up, there's two signs. One, when other players start tweeting about it from your team, being like, pay Allen Robinson, because usually players kind of stay out of all of that,
but
right?
But they know.
Right. They stay out of it, though, usually. They don't talk about for or against. They don't talk about another guy's money. And two, when fans from other fan bases start dreaming about trading for Allen Robinson, you're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't let that guy go when everyone's like, ooh, we got an extra second-round pick lying around. Let's go get Allen Robinson. There's like, I saw 15 teams that are rumored to go after Allen Robinson. that's the sign, Ryan Pace. Stop being a fucking idiot and sign Allen Robinson.
Dude, I saw some actual reports saying that the Washington football team is interested in going all in. And it's like, since when did Washington become more functional than Chicago? That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely not yet at that point. But
no.
It's not good. I think that Allen Robinson,
he's the greatest wide receiver of all time.
Yes, he's very good. There's a certain part of him that I think likes being known as the guy that is a really good wide receiver that doesn't have anybody that can get him the ball. And so now that Mitch has taken that next step and he's really good,
let's cool down with
Allen
that.
Robinson can't be he has no more excuses being like, I'm, you know, a great player with somebody who can't. Like, he played for in Jacksonville, he had Nick Foles.
And in Chicago, no, he didn't.
Yeah, he had Nick Foles for a little bit. Didn't he in Jacksonville?
No.
Not even for two games?
Allen Robinson's been on the Bears for a while.
Who was his quarterback in Jacksonville?
Blake Bortles.
I was trying to just...
Okay. He had Christian Hackenberg in Penn State and then Mitch Trubisky. So, yeah, Allen Robinson's the best wide receiver of all time.
Yeah, he's
Let's
good.
Let's just say that.
Well, if he wants... There are an abundance of teams that would like Allen Robinson that have shitty quarterbacks.
Every
right
team
now.
Wants Allen Robinson.
Any New York team would love Allen Robinson.
The Jets, that would be such a Jets move. Be like, let's get Allen Robinson. Oh, we still can't block anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't get the ball to Allen Robinson. Either way, figure it out, Ryan Pace. It's so classic Bears. Like, doesn't even give you 48 hours to enjoy a win. Nope, can't even have that.
He might have been hanging out with Jimmy Graham too much, because that's a Jimmy Graham technique to remove, like, one specific thing from your Twitter bio,
right,
hoping that you'll get paid more money.
Yeah, it's, fuck, so stupid. All right, should we wrap up? We have Guys on Chicks. Hank, we're watching the Celtics Heat right now. Hank just did the travel motion very boisterously.
Well, there's no sound, so I couldn't tell if they called the...
gesticulating.
The travel or not.
Yeah.
You're Italian.
You're going crazy.
Speaking
with your hands.
Big Cat, PFT, and Rhea's boyfriend. I keep having sex dreams about my best guy friend. Not just a couple, but at least 4 times a week. It's getting so bad that I'm starting to wonder if I have actual feelings for him. Unfortunately, he has a girlfriend, so how do I get rid of these feelings? Serious inquiries only. Thank you.
I'm going to just go out on a limb and say you have feelings for him.
You're having sex with him
4 times a week in your dreams?
Imagine dreaming about anything 4 times a week.
No.
Night terrors.
Maybe, I have those.
Maybe food?
Yeah. Screaming night terrors 4 times a week. Easily. Can you say this to women? Like, yo, bro, just go jerk off.
Yeah.
I think she just got to go jerk off.
You
got to jerk off before you go to bed.
Take the bullets out of the gun.
Yeah.
But that might make her more horny. That's a problem.
I don't know. Yeah, women can orgasm forever.
Of the female clitoris is that you never know what's going to heat it up or cool it down.
And we're talking multiples now.
It's getting so bad that I'm starting to wonder if I have actual feelings for him. I think.
You do.
Yeah.
You think? 100% you do. That's like dreaming of winning the lottery and being like, I'm starting to think I'd really enjoy winning the lottery.
I think you just... Yeah, it sounds like you should just tell him, hey, we should fuck so I could figure out if I want to fuck you or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to find out.
Well, he's got a girlfriend.
Yeah, but just to find out.
Then you could daydream
about
it, too.
Hey, maybe we should fuck to find out whether or not we should be fucking.
Tell the girlfriend
official
that you need to do it.
Right. Be like, no, tell the girlfriend. Be like, do you want your boyfriend to keep cheating on you in my sleep? Or we could just do it with your permission.
Mm.
Or
you could go like real passive aggressive and tell your boyfriend, hey, what would you say if I got mad at you for dreaming about fucking one of your female friends?
Mm.
And then see how he reacts.
Yes, yes.
That won't make him suspicious.
Speaking of night terrors, hey, Barstool guys, I recently got married and my husband has vicious night terrors. He wakes up almost daily in the night screaming so loud but has no idea in the next morning. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
Jerk off before you go to bed?
Yeah. I need to do a sleep study. I want to do a sleep study on myself. Because I sleep, walk, and talk. What are you looking at, Billy?
3-chi.
3-chi.
Yeah, there you go. Three before chi. You go to sleep. Knock it out with the melatonin. That's bad stuff.
Yeah, that's tough. Maybe go to sleep with a weapon. Go to sleep with a gun in your hand. Mm.
Or
loaded gun.
Here's what you do.
Just for safety.
Right before bed, be like, hey, I want to get a little kinky with it. Put a blindfold on him. And then handcuff him to the bed.
Every night.
And then he's going to get real horny, and then you're like, okay, good night.
Yeah.
And then
guys
he can't
are
do
so
shit.
Dumb,
yeah.
They won't realize you're doing that every night.
You can do it on repeat, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, tonight's the night that I'm going to get my dick sucked while I'm blindfolded and strapped up to the bed like I'm a prisoner in Alcatraz.
Yeah. All right, next.
Sup, lads. What makes sex hardcore?
The penetration.
Whoa. Choking? Slapping?
Viewing the penetration.
So
I don't know. What do you think, Hank? Billy, what do you think makes sex hardcore? What's hardcore sex in your mind?
Parkour.
Okay. Word association.
I think, yeah, it's...
Whenever, what's that guy's name? James Dean? That's hardcore.
Johnny Sins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hardcore. That's all I know. That's hardcore sex.
My mind just went to figuring out the difference between hardcore porn and softcore porn.
Yeah, no, I think hardcore sex is if you're...
Softcore doesn't show penetration.
If the guy can make it through the first Charlie horse, that's hardcore. Anything past the first Charlie horse, that's hardcore.
I would say longer than 5 minutes of continual penetration is hardcore.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Couldn't be me.
A marathon.
Sup, boys. 2 weeks ago, I went on vacation with my boyfriend's family, and while I was using the outdoor shower, the shower of the door blew open. I didn't notice at first because I was washing my hair, but when I finally opened my eyes...
This is so hot.
I caught my boyfriend's dad staring at me so while hot. I was in the shower.
Dude, I've seen so this video.
We fucked. I quickly grabbed a towel, but he definitely saw me naked. We avoided each other for the rest of the trip, and I kept the incident to myself. I haven't told my boyfriend. Do you think I should? I feel like it might make things extremely awkward. Thanks. Love the show.
No. Why would you ever?
If it's an outdoor shower and he's a dad, he was probably just admiring
dads
plumbing.
Love outdoor showers.
Yeah, the plumbing that goes into it and like the craftsmanship of constructing a quality outdoor shower. He's probably just like looking at the spigot. He's like, I bet
seeing
that's
how the wood deals with the water.
Is that like a 3/8 washer on there?
No. What you need to do is knowing that he's a dad and he loves outdoor showers. You got to just look at him in the outdoor shower and then be like, even. Mm-hmm. Never speak about it again. Then fuck. No, but yet never speak of that again.
Dude,
ever.
And the last person you should mention it to is your boyfriend.
Yeah. If anything, mention it to your boyfriend's mom and be like, I saw your husband jerking it to me earlier and see what happens there.
Uh-huh.
But do not talk about this to anyone, especially a podcast. Everyone's thinking like, all right, I got a lake house. My dad's kind of horny. He always stands right outside the outdoor shower.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, outdoor showers, that is, you know, some people dream of additions that they make to their house. Like, I know you've talked about putting in a full basketball court
hoop, yep.
Once you get insanely rich.
Field too.
I just want an outdoor shower.
Yeah.
They are the absolute best. I don't care if it's wintertime, if it's snowing outside, if it's hot outside. You can't beat an outdoor shower.
I don't think you can run the plumbing when it's cold.
You leave it on a drip.
The only problem is
I think that solves everything.
You wrap a blanket and then you leave
it on a drip,
right.
And then your plumbing
it just
will
never
be fine.
Freezes. The problem with outdoor showers, I feel like everyone who's ever had an outdoor shower, they always cheap out on the soap in the outdoor shower. It's never good soap. It's outdoor. Like it's a fucking. It's like
pert.
Yeah,
my dad uses pert.
Yeah, or it's like
always.
Dish soap.
It's just, yeah,
like, just throw some dish soap out there. Usually, they're outdoors. They don't care.
It's like Dial.
Yeah,
or it's the liquid stuff, palm olive,
or like the old Irish Spring bars that last forever.
If you're lucky,
it's been there since like 1984.
Yeah, it's like
those
size,
are fire.
It's the size of a tooth, and you're trying to get it underneath your armpit and scrub around. You're right. You're right. They do cheap out. But I would have like a luxurious outdoor shower that has. You know what? I might even fuck around and put like the hotel thing that has the dispenser that goes into the.
Oh,
the
I like
water
that.
Flow.
Oh
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, this is my dream.
Yeah,
I don't ask
do my
for
hotel
much.
Cocktail.
I want one of those with mouthwash, like at the gym. That would be nice.
Uh-huh. And then
a little shot of mouthwash every morning
and like a beer go tube. Underneath it.
No. They have the. You know, at the gym, sometimes they'll have the soap dispensers up at the sink where there's a little cup and you can get it yourself.
Oh, I thought you were saying a mouthwash.
Have I been
dispenser.
Drinking soap?
Like, you know, like...
No, it's
I'm pretty
mouthwash.
Sure I've been drinking mouthwash, yeah.
It's either mouthwash or the stuff that they put combs in at the barbershop.
Yeah, that stuff's delicious.
What is that stuff?
Barbasol.
That always looks... No.
That's like Chernobyl stuff.
I've never tasted it in my life, but I can guarantee you it's got more electrolytes than Gatorade.
Uh-huh.
I always think that guy's Mr. Delicious. Peanut on the bottle, but it's just not.
No.
The green...
Yeah,
like,
they also
neck,
have
yeah.
the talcum powder.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a quick way to smell like a 6-year-old white dude.
All right, this one's gross.
What?
Hello, Barstool. My boyfriend and I have been dating for about a year, and he has one weird thing. Whenever we do the nasty, he makes me swallow his load.
Oh,
he tells me
what?
Science has proved it will strengthen my immune system and increase our intimacy. I want to believe him, but I also hate swallowing his little soldiers. It tastes like warm ranch.
Yeah, don't do that.
This is becoming more and more of a deal breaker for me. I don't think I should keep doing it and suck it up, literally. Or if I should find a different guy who will treat me and my throat with more respect and less sperm.
A guy that like demands that you
make
swallow
him it.
Yeah, no, just make out with him immediately afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then
spit on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fucked up. You need to stand up for yourself. Also, don't buy any of that pseudoscience. Billy, your job for Friday is find pseudoscience anti that.
Actually, I have some.
Okay, go. Give it to us.
So there's like a study that says that by swallowing sperm, your autoimmune response, like the female's autoimmune response to killing the sperm, actually gets lessened by more exposure. So it actually makes you more easily pregnant because the female body doesn't kill the sperm.
Ah,
okay.
Okay, I don't think that's true.
So you can get pregnant, no, you can get pregnant from the mouth.
No.
But like when it's different. Not in the mouth.
But if if you swallow it and you keep it
what
down.
What if it gets down in there?
Yeah.
No, it strips through?
What if you swallow it so hard that it goes straight to your pussy?
This is actually a thing. Okay.
What if drink so much of it that you pee it out so fast that the sperm is still alive when you pee it out?
No. It's like you build up a tolerance for it, so then when it's actually for the baby making, it doesn't
How much
die.
Do you have to, I love when to, Billy to gets, drink? How many gallons for it?
I don't know.
When Billy gets questions, he's like, no. This is actually something I read. It's like, okay, well,
it's like
that doesn't answer it.
Like, because then the immune system doesn't kill it when it's down there.
God,
who did this study?
I read it.
Okay. Yeah, Billy read it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy, you managed to actually strengthen that bad argument by making a worse argument on the other side.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy to debunk, or you can just do. I've read that if you drink like a lot of pineapple juice, it tastes a lot better. So what you need to do is before you blow him next time, you need to chug a shitload of Dole.
Yeah,
and then his sperm will taste great.
Yes.
Hi, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 5 years, and he still won't let me touch his butt or anywhere relatively close to his butthole. Is this a red flag or something I should just get over?
No, he probably doesn't wipe correctly.
Probably has no ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people can be self-conscious about that.
You need to get him some dude wipes.
Yeah.
Clean that ass up.
Butt.
I've heard that if you have no ass and someone goes to squeeze it and there's nothing there, it's really like embarrassing.
Oh, really?
I read that. There was a study. Yeah, I read that as a study. You're going to come up short.
The butt's always been...
My hand just goes through you?
It's always been a bridge too far.
Yeah, you're going to end up grabbing your own hand.
It slides off like you're using a claw machine, and there's no stuffed animal there. It just scrapes the bottom.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Last one?
Sure, last one. Hey, Big Cat, Tennessee Titans kicker, PFT, annoying Hank, and animal lover, Billy.
Whoa.
My boyfriend and I recently adopted a puppy. Why are you shaking your head, Billy?
I'm nodding.
Super excited.
Animal fingerer. He doesn't love them. He just has feelings of lust.
You had the best sex last night with a toad?
It's frogs, dude.
Frogs, sorry.
Dude.
My boyfriend and I recently adopted a puppy. Super exciting. But my boyfriend is starting to become a dog. First, it was cute when he was playing with him, barking back and lying on his back for belly scratches. But now he's licking my face like our dog and joke sniffs our puppy's butt. This is getting to be too much. Also, yesterday I found a shit in our yard that is about half the size of our puppy. So I know the puppy didn't do it. Should I be worried?
He's turning into a dog. That's so cute. You need to treat him like a dog.
Yeah, your dog needs a friend.
Leash him up.
That's great. The joke sniff in the butt.
Make him drink out of a bowl.
Yikes.
Oh, wait, last one. Stop belly football. I'm having trouble raising my chickens. Got about 8 of them. Maybe you can give me tips on how to raise cocks.
All right, tell us while we pick a ping pong ball. Go ahead, Billy.
62.
What have you learned while raising chickens?
20.
1.
18.
8.
1. 28.
35.
1.
Take care of your chickens. Take care of your mentals.
What did I say? 28?
If you crush up oyster shells and put them in your chicken coop, it's actually really good for the egg shells.
85.
Hold that bitch. What just fell out of the ceiling? There's like something white just fell out of the ceiling.
Come.
Sperm.
Is somebody's jerking it on the third floor?
Maybe.
In the crawl space?
Do we have a leak?
All right, we'll see everyone on Friday.
Love you guys. God damn it, Pete.
Talking away, I don't know what to say. Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.